You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand, and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced that I have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Alice wants what you think I've seen. Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moxon Joe. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's Walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Descarty. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, good evening, folks. This is Marco Bill, and I'm here tonight. I've got a little special treat for everybody. We're going to go back to March 30th and 1 June of 2007, Paris, Texas. And we're going to take 2 30-minute special programs, put them together, and it was an extremely, extremely active time. So let's go revisit an older time and see if you can remember some of these people. Here we go. Take care.
Hey, Marco. Well, we're a little wet, to say the least. Those of you who have heard the weather reports or listened to the Weather Channel and check on the news, we were kind of hit pretty good last night. 70 and 80 mile an hour winds. Tornadoes stopped down on one of the areas here. Our guys searching. And one of our boats got swamped, believe it or not. So we got a licking, but we kept on ticking, if you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. And let me prove something to the world out there, okay? We had five teams out searching. three of the five teams had a visual encounter of the creature. Now, you guys are going to have to, I'm going to try to get everybody who's had an encounter on the phone here, but it was incredible to brave the elements that these people have braved over the last few days, including tonight. We're out here tonight, Marco, believe it or not, okay? It's raining as we're speaking to you, and some people are looking for a branch to stay under, a leaf to stay under, or a rig. And let me tell you something. These people who've traveled near, far, everywhere, okay, are experiencing things like they've never experienced in their life, okay? Let's go to the first one. There was an area called Clay's Bluff in which Tommy was the team leader with Jim Snell and Laurel Jones and Lee Leon. Are any of the Tommy's team on the line now?
We're here. We're here.
Okay, so we got the two gals. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let's talk to Lee Leon. That's him. Tell him that that's our guys there, by the way. You got to forgive me because we're going to be jumping in and out. We got guys all over, and the weather is just so inclement. It's crazy right now. Lee, would you be kind enough to tell the story as you saw it?
Well, it was, like you said, the weather was extremely, it's something I've never experienced before. Tornadoes, Bigfoot, knockings. We went down to, our area was where they found prints, the recent prints. And when we got down there, Tommy Jr. had us sit and listen for a while. Where we were, we could hear movement, but not anything significant. It wasn't until we got up into the main road is where we had our most major experience. And that was actual tree knocking. And as we walked in, just still to be silent to hear, we heard an answer back, I would say, from that tree knocking. And then probably about 200 feet from the water, they caught an image on the IR. And it was incredible. You can actually see this creature stooping down. And I saw it rock once, and of course, at that point, my alarm system went on, and I started looking around. But there was just so much. We were all trying to get a chance to look at this thing. I had the backs of my team members so they can actually see this, and they got to see more than I got to, but it was there. And so, Laura, why don't you tell them what you saw?
Okay. It was the most phenomenal thing I've ever seen.
Who's it, Laura? Can you
talk to me? This is Laurel Jones, Marco.
Okay.
Hi, Marco.
Hi, Laurel.
Okay, are we ready?
Well, no, we're ready. I just wanted to know, let the listeners know your name.
Okay. This is the most phenomenal experience I've ever had. When we were looking through the IR and could see this creature, after the battery went dead, so that was sort of visualizing in the woods. You could actually see it stand up, move between the trees, and it was not a tree. It would crouch, it would go to the tree and stop, and then you could see it move between the trees. And I was like, Lee, you know, your defenses sort of went up at that point, so we're watching it, and it went down closer to the water. The next thing I know, we're hearing noises and seeing a movement on the other side of the road, which we think gave this creature time to reposition itself, and we sort of got escorted back. We could hear movement and rustle on both sides. I did see something on the left side. We turned around and went back to the car. It wasn't anything that I could totally distinguish, but I mean, I know what it was. I just didn't see it. You could hear it. We heard the wood knocking. We all heard that. We were maybe 200 feet from the car when we heard that. And that, I guess that's one reason I think there was definitely more than one out there. It was like it was centuries who were guarding their territory. And when we were there, it's like they were telling us, you know, this is ours. When that creature stood up between the trees, it really reaffirmed things because I could see it. It was not a tree that was rocking. It was not a tree that was moving. It just was literally move in the spaces of the trees, and you could see it. It was huge. And then noise on the one side, the rustling on the one side stopped, so we just sort of all started backing out and then turned around. And you could, as we were going back to the car, you could hear them on either side of us. They were there. We would move 3 or 4 feet, and you would hear the rustle going down the road beside us on either side. It was phenomenal.
How would you sum this up, Laurel? If you were to talk to someone else, now you've been with us now 3 days, 4 days, whatever the heck it may be. I don't even remember anymore. I don't even know what day it is. You've been through Fox, ABC, televisions, and press people here. You become a journeyman overnight in virtuality. I mean, people go all their lives to never see what you've seen, okay? The first day you come out, yesterday during the day, you casted a print, man. You actually rolled up your sleeves and learned how to cast a print. And when you saw those prints, what went through your head?
I've always believed in them, but until you actually see something, you have that little doubt. When I saw that print, and you can see it, people have to see the cast itself. You can see it in the dirt and not understand the full concept of what's going on. But when we actually got the one cast out and you turned it over and you could see all of the little details of this, it's so indescribable. I mean, I believed in it before, but I guess you could say now I'm a true believer, and I'm someone like everyone else out here. I want to find out what this is. I don't want to hurt it because it's just like anything else, but we need to find out what it is. We need to be able to capture one. And it, you know, it's not out there trying to hurt us. It's not we're trying to hurt it, but we have to do what we have to do, and I can't wait. I mean, just seeing that. But honestly, when I saw footprints, that was a shock to me because I thought, okay, this is really true. But when I saw that cast, when it first came over and you could see the impressions of all this stuff, it just blew my mind.
Fantastic. Laurel, I got to tell you this, you know, now that you know who Searching for Bigfoot is, Thomas Gurdy is, Deborah, Bob, TJ, the whole crew, when you hear a lot of this nonsense out there, these guys are just in this for the glory and for 15 minutes of fame and what have you. What do you say about that?
I'll tell them they're crazy. How can people say that it's 15 minutes of fame if they don't know? This is the first thing like this I've ever done. But had I known, and I was lucky because I did get to see Prince and I had an actual sighting the very first time, which to me is phenomenal because there's been people that are doing this for years and not had a sighting.
Exactly.
You know, I figured when I went out there we might hear something, but I never thought that I would actually get to see anything. And it's phenomenal. You know, people need to understand that this is for real.
Laurel, thank you so much. Is Lee still by you?
She sure is.
You know, put her on. I want to ask
Tom,
her.
We have another. We have a listener on the line. It's 205.
Hi.
Karen.
I'm here.
Oh.
Let's see who this listener is. Go ahead.
I got to unmute. Area code 205. You're on Bigfoot Live Radio Special. Go ahead.
Hi. Who's 205?
Area code
Hello.
205?
205, you out there?
Your phone.
Okay, Marco, don't take any calls. Just let you know we have a short period of time here.
That's right.
Okay, let's not. We don't have time for games. Lee, are you still out there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. How would you describe, Lee, what you've experienced over the last 2 or 3 days?
Well, it's been, for one thing, it's been a learning experience. I would have to say that's number one, because I've never had to be in the element the way I have in the last 2 days. And I can say that your team is extremely knowledgeable and respectful of the elements. And because of that, they took care of me and Laurel and our team last night. And I know that they had the best interest for everyone else. Everybody out there last night had a different, had to deal with the weather differently. And we haven't even had a chance to get together and really compare stories. I mean, it's an adventure. It's an adventure. It's an adventure.
The thing that people, I guess, that they really don't understand, Lee, maybe you could tell it firsthand coming from yourself. Since the time you arrived here, to right now, to present, has there been any downtime for you, or have
no,
you been running
we haven't
like
stopped.
Else?
We haven't no. stopped. I guess because this is just, it's opportunity. I mean, whatever comes, you have to just go where the, you know, where the leads are. But there was just so much to this. I never knew there was so much involved, and people putting in personal time and money and energy and wisdom, and mostly just the fact that everybody's willing to work together to find out what the heck this thing is. What is this creature that has everybody so curious and unrested until we know what this is? And
you know,
brought everybody together, and we thank you for that opportunity, because I don't know anybody else. I don't know of any other organization that has done this. I don't.
Well, thank you so much, Lee. And the thing that I want our listeners to understand, okay, you know, they all they know how to do that blogging and they know how to do that forum stuff, but when it comes to reality and their feet hit the ground, how many of them actually get to come out and do what you've done and seen what you've seen in such a short period of time? Think about that.
I wish they would get from behind the blogs and the computer and come out here and sit in the rain and a tornado's going over your head, and see what these creatures do when that's happening. And then you'll have a different point of view.
Yeah. Can I just
add one little thing in?
Sure.
This is Laurel. I just want to tell you, this was Lee's and my first experience, and I have to tell you that your team, which was mostly men, and they were made up of mostly men, have been so great with us. They have helped us. They have guided us. They have shown us everything we needed to know to be right up there with them knowledge-wise. And it's just been a fantastic experience, and it is all thanks to your team.
Oh, thank you so much, Laurel. And I'm glad you said that, okay, because it's a point well made. And I want my listening audience out there to understand something, okay, when they hear the story. Oh, but Scardy doesn't want to share nothing with us. Okay, or he wants that 15 minutes of glory, Lee. Can you believe that? Is my life an open book when we're in the field?
I can tell you that you're totally focused, and you're just trying to get to the bottom of this, and whatever it takes to get to the bottom of it. You're not in it for the glory that I can see. I think it's a passion that you're just trying to fill before the day that God calls you home.
Well, and thank you for that. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Lee Leon, and then we had Laurel Jones. That was Southern California and Ohio. I understand that we got New York. Andy, are you out there? Andy's been with us, too.
He's
can
right
talk
here.
To Andy? Yeah, okay.
Okay, here he is.
All right. Hello, Andy?
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Hey, good buddy. Well, I wanted our listening audience to hear it from live from the people who are here, who came from all over this country. Tell them what you experienced yesterday, Andy.
Well, yesterday, it wasn't exciting as the girls. I was in a different area, and it was we had to cross a lake, which was almost 2 miles wide, where we actually walked in. We had to cross just to get there, and when we got there, the first half of people that went had a sighting, and it was pretty interesting. They said it was crouched down beside a tree, and then they took another look, and it was gone. But I got there, you know, it was raining pretty hard. We got caught the edge of a tornado, and that was pretty interesting.
Tell me, wait. Don't you sound like you're an old timer now? God bless you. My God, well, I go through this every day now. Let the listeners understand it through your voice and your emotions as you saw it and experienced it last night. You told them about going over 2 miles over the lake to get to the area you were like. What was the area like? Was it swampy? Was it tarmac? Was it cemented? What was it like? I mean, was there bugs out there? Explain it all.
It was a little of everything. You know, one minute it would be mucky and slippery and you'd be sinking in mud. Next minute you'd be walking in dense forest. You'd be on level ground and you'd be going up inclines. And the rain was just coming down. I mean, it was just pouring. And
tell them, yeah, there you go.
Lightning flashes and it really set the scene. It was,
how dark was it out there?
When we shut our lights off, it was pitch black. It was pretty dark. And when we put them on, the bugs just came from everywhere. Okay, so you realize it was a win-win situation here. What I'd like to tell is what happened to me yesterday, which I'm sure a lot of people, you know, that didn't hear yesterday would like to hear it today. You know, we were at the site where the prints were, and they were being cast, and a lot of the people left, and TJ, me and the girls, Lee and Laurel, were left there to pull the rest of the prints up. And while we were waiting for them to dry, the alpha male was closer to the lake, and the female was up about 30, 35 yards. And they went up to check on those prints, and I stayed down by the alpha male's prints, and I was sitting on the log. And I'm sitting there just taking in the whole scenery, because this lake, when you say it looks like Jurassic Park, I was just like completely blown away by the lake. And it's daylight at this point. So I'm sitting on the log, and I got birds and frogs chirping all around me. And then all of a sudden, it was like somebody cut it with a knife right down the middle. To the left of me, everything got quiet. And I just, the hair stood up on the back of my neck. You know, I've been hunting for years, so I know this. And it immediately jumped right out at me. So I got my camera out, and I started hearing some rustling in the trees next to me, maybe about 35, 30 yards in. And I turned to the left, and I pointed my camera at this clearing, and I zoomed in, and I waited. But it never came. But there was definitely something there. Can I say it was Bigfoot? No, I can't. I mean, but it could have been they say there's 500-pound pigs running around there. So it could have been anything, but it was an experience. And I can honestly say I had one. The prints were unbelievable. I mean, people have gone 10 years searching for Bigfoot and never found a print. So just to experience that was worth the whole trip.
It's an experience and a half, and I appreciate, you know, your honesty. What do you tell these people out there, Andy, okay, about the Searching for Bigfoot crew and Tom Biscardi when you hear them say, oh, wow, man, you know, Biscardi doesn't go out there. He doesn't go researching. He goes in somebody's backyard. What do you say to those people?
See, that's ignorance, and, you know, it's very easy to sit at your computer and try to call the shots. This is a passion. And the people who, and I'm hoping this is not my last time, you know, I want further adventures in the future. And, you know, it's very easy to sit by your computer and go on an adventure. And they really have no clue. I mean, your crew is unbelievable. These guys know what they're doing, and they get out there. You, your son, Java Bob, and Java Bob, I have all the respect for in the world because he's not in the best health. And this guy gets out there. And you were talking late this morning, he was going through quicksand.
Yeah.
And
told you.
Why don't you tell? You know, I'm glad you said that. Okay, and Hawk and Hondo, they were heading off your team.
Yeah,
at one area, Big Bluff, and then to the right of you guys was Visor. And how come? Tell everybody out there why they couldn't hook up with you at first. What was wrong with what's in between you two guys?
It was quicksand.
That's right. And they couldn't get over, but they tried, huh?
Right. Yeah, it took a while.
And I finally went to higher ground and got out and got and met you guys, and which I think was 5:30 this morning. People don't understand that, okay?
Yes.
That you were almost 8 hours in the brush, in the elements, Andy.
Yes, yes.
So
and
it was...
Hawk, and Hawk, and we had the snake man sitting right next to me. You know, the snake man went out, and he went under, and he checked all the logs for snakes and made sure the area was secure before we hunkered down for a while because it got pretty bad out there.
Now, people out there that don't understand the word hunkering down, what does that mean, Andy?
It means you form a tight group and you sit tight. You find the driest place you can find and pretty much make the best of it for a while.
And why did I instruct you people to do that?
Because that was probably
the man post.
That was probably the safest thing to do.
What was going on outside?
We had winds that I would say were ranging from between... We had pretty much a steady wind, probably of about 40 miles an hour. But then you would get gusts that probably went to 70 or 80. I mean, the trees were just bending. And we were looking up going... You know, we were actually looking at the trees with the night vision to see if any of them were dead, if no leaves on them, to see if they might come down. But, you know, we were ready at any time. And at one point, Hawk was nodding aft against the tree, and this wind came, and he took off. I mean, he got up and started running. He's like, come on. He thought we were getting hit, but it was just the edge that got us.
Wow.
I guess I'm gonna hate you guys.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, our camp was demolished.
Okay? Yeah, it was.
There was points in time about, I don't know, anywhere from 12 midnight to about 3:30 in the morning, that I thought the wind was going to pick up our rig, which has got to be 3-4 tons with the trailers and everything. And it was moving it and rocking it like you wouldn't believe. It was incredible. What did you say?
Poor Roger. He was in the head when it took him.
Oh, it was incredible. Yeah. One of our guys had slipped in and had hurt himself, and he was taking a nap before he decided to go out later on. He's with us now. He's in the tent, and the tent collapses and starts to roll with the wind, and he was in it. He comes out all disheveled and everything. He says, what happened? He says, my God. I says, get in one of the rigs quick, man, before you get blown away. It was incredible. As a matter of fact, we got you on the phone. Roger, you there?
I'm here.
Tell everybody your experience quickly.
Well, I was there and laying back and getting a nap because I was just taking my medication, and I was a little tired, and I got laid down, and I was just the sound of the raindrops just lullabied me to sleep, and before I knew it, I was starting to tumble, and the tent was over on top of me, and I was screaming for somebody to come get me out of there.
I want you guys to know I'm laughing with everybody, not just at Roger, because he has my respect very dearly, believe me. He's a great guy. But if you had seen him, to see how he was in a disarray, he'd come out of that tent. He goes, what happened? I can't believe it. He says, did a Bigfoot pick up the tent and throw me?
That's what I thought.
It was incredible.
I saw it about 4 hours after that happened.
Roger, since you've been here with us now, okay, you've been here, you came to the point to survey the whole thing. What do you have to say about this whole thing since you've been here?
Well, I'll tell you what. I've been doing a lot of surveying and searching on my own, but when Tom invited me to come out here for this adventure, I was like totally in awe. And I'll tell you, these people are right on the top of everything. They know what they're doing.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and this is Marco Bill with your Bigfoot Live Radio Show special, live from Paris, Texas, on Expedition. And tonight, I'd like to introduce you to Mr. Tom Biscardi, the man who put the Bigfoot back in the Bigfoot. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, Marco Bill, how are you?
I'm doing great, Tom. I'm doing great. You guys, I'm sure, are wore out.
to say the least, you're exactly right. And I got to tell you, this has been probably one of the most exhilarating times that we've had. I know I have for sure, coming on up on 34 years in April. You got to forgive me. Right now I'm at the point of no return, okay? We've gone through John David, JB, Kevin, why don't you guys come on over here? Dave? Okay. That's the Timberline Bigfoot organization, ladies and gentlemen, that I've talked to you about in the past. You should have seen these guys out there last night. First of all, I got to tell you this. David Holly, who's the head of the organization, and his son, JD, I take my hat off to these people. And the crew that he's assembled are exemplary members. These people are of the 2% that you hear me talking about, okay? Have you guys heard about the 98% of garbage out there? These are the 2% that we've been talking about. They braved the weather, all the elements, no matter what it took, going through the swampy areas, braving the snakes, braving the alligators. As a matter of fact, last night they came over an alligator lair that Kevin was talking about, and one of the teams was going through the area. Something happened last night. You know how I tell it. I tell it like it is, all right? We had three teams out again, one more time. Torrential rains, winds that were anywhere from 40 to 60 knots last night versus the night before. It wasn't as bad, but the people were still tired from the night before. These guys got out there, and you should see how they were dressed. They didn't care. They came out there to achieve one thing. And what they came out to achieve was, is it out there or isn't? These people have seen it. These people have had true life experiences, encounters. That's why they're above the notch of everyone else out there, and they're in that 2% category, all right? He's got some new guys coming up the ranks. Hey, he's just like I am, okay? He's an older cat. He paid his dues. All right? He can't do what most of these young kids do, nor can I. All right? But we've got the wisdom. That's what gives us the gray hair. All right? And as long as we've got a team that'll join in with us and listen, and that's the key word, listen, we can depart or part some of our knowledge to them where they can continue on with our research if we don't get one of these things. Now, I'm going to tell you what happens. I told everybody out there, we tell it like it is. We worked one area, Sanders Bridge. We got nothing. Okay? We went from Sanders Bridge. We had them coming, working their way up to Clay's Bluff. Then we had the Timberline boys from Lamar Point working their way in. In other words, just like rushing a tiger, coming them in, beating the drums through the brush to push it towards the guys that we're going to capture it down at. Call it what you may. All right. First two groups, it was about 12:45 in the morning. Came through, they were drenched, they were exhausted, they were tired. Not a peep, nothing. Not every day is a great day if you're going to find one of these things, okay? And it's a blessing when you do. All of a sudden, about 1:15 in the morning, and the key to this whole thing is, any real Bigfooter out there, okay, they will not leave a member out there. And you've got to understand, it's an LOS, line of sight with these walkies. Anything in between is going to be broken up and you ain't going to hear it. And the whole point of this story is this. We didn't hear from them for a good hour because we had radio checks every 15 minutes. I was sitting. We went down to the Lamar Point because we were scared. We didn't know what happened, and I would not leave unless I knew everybody was okay. All of a sudden, out of the blue, the walkie starts. We heard talking. Okay, Tom, we've got one cornered. It's a female. Out of the blue, okay? We hadn't heard from these guys. We're worried to beat hell. I got one of his kin here also. Kevin was right next to me when this happened last night, okay? And he says, my God, did you hear that? And I said the same thing. Did you hear it? Okay? And here we are trying to radio back and forth. Couldn't do it. Go to find out, through the excitement, through the amazement of what happened, okay, the walkie was lost in the muck as they went to corral this thing. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to hand this over, and this is a special edition. I want you people to understand, this is real-life drama happening now, okay? This isn't 40 years ago. This isn't third-hand information. You're going to get it from the man who saw it with his team members, how he saw it, and when he saw it. Ladies and gentlemen, I introduce you to Mr. David Holley. David, with all respects, here you go.
Well, hello, everyone. This is David Holley with the Timberline Bigfoot Group. I know a lot of you are going to be really interested, and they're probably sitting back saying, oh, no, they didn't do this. Well, it happened. This is how I'm about to tell you. Tom has given you a little sketch. As we were walking along the shoreline leading from the Lamar Point campground to the Clay's Bluff area, we heard what sounded like an infant child crying. Now, there are no houses in this area that have infant children, much less right on the water. We paused. We knew that we had been shadowed for some time, and that we felt like we were diving the creatures towards the Clay Bluff area. As we paused to listen to the crying and to determine where it may be coming from and discussing whether or not we were going to enter the area and actually look for it, one of our members was scanning the woods, and in what appeared to be a blind, a hunting blind built of greenery, of shrubbery, of sticks, was a head and partial shoulders of a creature. We put the light on the creature. Now, I'm not going to get into a debate with anyone who says they're human-like or they're ape-like. I'm going to tell you what I saw. What my team and my son, who's not with us right now, he's spending time with his family, saw at that moment. This thing appeared to be very chimp-like. It had dark hair. The eyes were white, with black dots. The face was gray, and it never blinked its eyes. It never took its eyes off of us. Its infant sound was still coming. My son John decided that he would try to get a closer look. He took a few steps inward. I took a few steps inside the line with him, and we instructed the guys with the flashlights not to take the lights off of the creature. However, what happened, anyone that has any knowledge of these creatures knows they're not alone. They don't travel by themselves. If one's in trouble, another would be used a diversionary tactic. This happened. The light left the creature's face, and in so doing, the creature escaped. But not before we saw her rise. It was a young female with small female type breasts, not the large pendulous breast that appears in the Patterson film. She was young in an instant, extremely fast. She was approximately 6, maybe 6.5 foot tall at best. John immediately went in,
and started trying to search for her around the trees, around the brush. Before we lost sight of her, I did get on the walkie-talkie, and I called Tom, and I said, Tom, we have got one cornered, which was the truth at that moment. And I know that it sounds, you know, like David's feeding us a bunch of hooey, but that's not what happened. What happened is we made a small mistake by not remaining focused on the creature. Now, we were also worried that there would be other creatures in the area. And one of the things that we speculated about in the 24 hours or less since it happened was that we believe that the creatures are very able to copy and imitate other sounds. And we're not sure now that we actually heard an infant. We believe that possibly another adult was imitating a childlike cry to bring us into contact with them. For whatever purpose, we have no idea. We don't want to speculate. We will not speculate. This is one reason that we did pull out as quickly as the wooded areas we could. I called on the radio to cancel that she had escaped us. We proceeded to walk towards the Clay's Bluff area along the shoreline and were immediately met with large rocks being thrown at us into the lake. The next question, somebody else just wants to say, well, weren't you guys armed? You bet. And I had a 45 automatic and a 12-gauge shotgun, which I handed to one of our younger members of the team. I handed to another member of the team who was more than able to use it. And we got into flashlights, took the lead, and we appeared to be the main focus of the rock thrower. One rock missed my head by inches. Another rock missed John's by inches. There was a cry that sounded almost like a coyote, but did not go through the entire coyote howl, and it was met by another howl of the same like. They were coming. They came to drive us from the area, and folks, they didn't succeed. We walked out. We did not run. But we were getting a little apprehensive about some things. So, you know, David, let me just interrupt you if I may, please.
Go ahead.
I was there. I heard the baby cries and where they came from. Kevin, one of your team members there, he heard it also, okay? I think I heard it twice, and I think J.D. said it was about 6 to 8 times. I've got to tell the listeners out there right now what I saw myself when you came out. I saw your face. I saw your lips trembling, okay, knowing that whatever you saw, you were scared stiff, my friend. And you know what? Don't think that when people they hear that they're going to say, "Oh well, the big brave hunters." Let's see them come out here in the pitch black of darkness when you can't see your hand in front of your face. Let's see if they weren't scared also. You know exactly what would happen, okay?
Yeah.
And the truth of it is, ladies and gentlemen, I saw this man's face. I saw his lips trembling as he was telling me the story. When he did the reenactment earlier today for me and Java Bob, I saw his lips tremble again. I know what the man has gone through, okay? I've been there, done that. The thing that blew my mind, okay, is when he called, he had the sense enough, okay, to call in a distress call that say, "Hey, man, help," because they were armed, yeah. But our whole intention was to do one thing, was to dart it, net it, and bring it back. So at least he had the sense enough to do that. And thank you for that, David. Believe me, from the bottom of my heart. right? That was all about. See, the people don't understand, David, what the terrain is like out here. They don't understand the inclement weather. My God, I mean, we went through 2 days of torrential rains, through twisters, you know, anywhere from 40 to 70, 75-mile-an-hour winds. Our campsite was demolished. Our boat was swamped twice. Nobody.
Tom,
yes.
And Tom, not only was the weather terrible, but this hiking through the mud and through this is physically exhausting. Physically exhausting. And this man was out. If you remember when we talked to him this morning, he'd been out all day, all afternoon, and all night in this. Till early in the morning, and when we found him so we could talk more about what his experience had been the night before, remember the first thing he told us? I couldn't sleep all night. I couldn't get this out of my mind. This is an emotional experience. This is something where you come eye to eye with something that people have been looking for all this time. This man had an emotional and physical experience that few people in the world will ever have.
Oh, I have no doubt in my mind. You know, everybody who's been out here with us all week long, they know what we've experienced. This is, again, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to harp on this, but I want you to understand that the 2% of the real people, the real deal who are out there, okay, they don't talk about it on blogs and on forums. The 2% are the ones that are out there making it happen and trying to find us. You know what happens? The other 98% talk about us. What do you think about that, David?
I think you're right. I think that 98% of those that call themselves researchers, Bigfoot hunters, whatever the designation they want to give themselves, they there's a lot of them. And the going out and seeing Bigfoot consists of going hunting and open with a great bunch of followers, and sometimes smaller. In the past, I've known some, but the main purpose was not to search or capture big, even big people to have a party. And then I've been on some, like this weekend, where the focus that we were going to do all within our capabilities of achieving success and solving this puzzle, this mystery, once and for all. And 2% of us, and granted, when you say 2%, it's not a lot. When you start taking individuals, there's a lot of people out there that have recognition. They ask for it. They have no funding. They haven't asked for it. They're spending their hard-earned money, taking their vacation time, their personal time, whatever, to hunt America's most elusive creature. And this is not an urban legend. This is a real thing. And, you know, we would like to think it's going to be solved in our lifetime. I really wish it could be. But until we start working together, putting aside prejudices, putting aside past differences, putting aside our jealousies and envies, it's not going to be done, because my son, John David Holly, has a saying that everyone has a piece of this puzzle, and if we put them together, we'll get a clearer picture and we'll know how to proceed. But there are those who have hidden agendas who won't come out and say what trying to do, never cooperate. They'll find ways to sabotage and to discredit those of us that are working together.
You know what, David? Truer words were never spoken. I don't think I could have put it in a better way. And I want to thank you and your people for your hospitality, number one, because without your son, JD, yourself, and your team, a lot of this wouldn't be possible. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you a story, all right? This is, I don't know, our sixth, seventh time out to this area. And every time that we come, it yields more and more and more, okay? And it's just incredible. Until you come out here and experience what we have and seen. And you know what? Come out here because you'll be loved and accepted with open arms, okay? These people here are wonderful people. He was the one who makes the invitation. He just told you, you know, let's all do it together. Let me tell you something. If we don't find the creature now, we know that the creature is here. And those who've been out there with us have put closure to any encounters in the past after being with us here for the last few days, number one. Number two, they know the truth. They know the reality. And that's what it's all about, okay? Now you'll hear the people talk and say, hey, it isn't a hoax. It isn't bullshit. It's real, man. This is the real deal. This area, it's just shocking to see. Hey, man, there's no marina here. There's no hot dog stand here. There's no bait store here, okay? You got to go for miles to get any of that kind of stuff. You're out here in primitive stuff. Is that not true, David?
That's absolutely true. It's what we talked about earlier this evening. If this lake is undeveloped, it's basically, except for the electric that's been run to some of the camping areas and the running water that's set for campers, this lake has basically been unchanged. And I think maybe, this might be another reason that it holds these creatures here. There's no urban development here. Paris is a mid-sized, small city. The people there here are wonderful. The surrounding communities are wonderful. As we were preparing to leave, we had one of the gentlemen that lived down the road from where we were coming out at Clay's Bluff come up and talk to us about Bigfoot. He didn't necessarily believe it, but he didn't necessarily disbelieve it. That's fun. It was fun to talk to people like that.
Well, you know what? It's more than fun. It's because you're out here in the elements. You're out here with the people who live in this area. And you're right. They're very receptive, and they're saying, hey, we know something's up there. I talked to a husband and wife team today. They own about 35 acres, and they're dead center of this whole thing in this area where it's all happened. And they disclosed some stuff to me today that just blew my mind, okay? I'm not able at this point in time to tell you anything about their names or anything. I'll just give you a brief story because I want this to be David's time, this half hour. But they had encounters. They lived here a bunch of years, and they've had encounters with the creature, prints all over the place. Sounds, howls, the whole nine yards. They've asked us to come and search their area. And they've got 32 acres down there with the bottoms and the sloughs and the whole nine yards. David, is there anybody that on your group that you'd like to put on and talk?
I'd like to talk to one of our team members. He was there with you last night waiting for us to come out. He's kind of like my adopted little brother, and I'd like to introduce to the listeners Mr. Kevin Crumbly. And when we were worried about a lot of things, the calm, still voice of Kevin came over to walkie-talkie and said, I'll come get you. And he didn't make it, but he sent two of our teammates that we did not look for. They had showed up at the last minute. He sent Mr. Michael Ashley and Mr. Brandon Smith to meet us, and they were welcome sight, as was everyone when we come out. So I'm going to let Kevin talk now.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kevin from down here in Paris, Texas. And I'll tell you what, I've had the honor of being out in the field with this gentleman. I was right next to him when we heard the baby's cries out there in the woods and the distress calls. Let me just give you a quick background on this guy. He's got to be 6'2", tipping the scale, maybe 280. And do you want anybody covering your back? There's the man. Kevin, good evening. How are you?
Doing pretty good, Mr. Scully.
I've got to tell you, it was an honor being out in that field with you last night. Tell the listeners out there, would you, if you'd be so kind, when you heard the crying and you kept a level head the whole time, what went through your head?
Well, first thing I thought of was I just stood there and heard a cry, and I kind of kept looking around. And at that time, we didn't see no lights come around the point at the time, but I heard the cry, and I was trying to get in contact with them on the radio at the time. Didn't rape them. Then all the next thing I know is they finally get the radio going, or got into the line of sight where it reached us, and they said they had one cornered. Then up to your head, because I was right there. I saw it. Okay, when you heard what I heard, what went to your head right away? Well, what went to my head right away was if I could walk across water out there beating feet. You bet. It's kind of hard. I'm not omnipotent, so I couldn't do that. And if I'd have tried to get in there to them where they was at that time, I wouldn't have been able to get there in any amount of time. It would have took me half an hour to almost an hour to get into where they was at. But I was just a bit apprehensive, not knowing exactly what was going on. They said they had been cornered. That's what I'm saying. That's when I was beginning to get a bit apprehensive, because there was only 4 or 5 of them out at the time. But things kind of went okay, except for the we didn't reach our objective. I imagine there's another day for that.
You know, and thank you for that, the words you just said, Kevin, okay? You said that we didn't reach our objective. But you know what? We put another notch in the belt, okay?
That's right.
Another notch closer to solving this mystery, okay? So it wasn't yesterday. It wasn't yet so far today. But who knows about tomorrow and the day after? And I want to tell you something, Kevin. Thank you, okay, from the bottom of my heart.
You're welcome, Mr. Kevin.
You're a hell of an asset to the Timberline Bigfoot people, and it was an honor being in the field with you to see you dredge through that storm and do what you did and how you conducted yourself and held your cool so well like the rest of your team members. Thank you once again, and God bless you, my friend.
Thank you, Mr. Scotty.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I know we're coming to the close at the bottom of the hour. I want to tell everybody out there and give my heartfelt thanks to not only these people who've been with us, but to two people that have made such a difference in my life. One is my son, Tommy. Jabba Bob and Rex. If it wasn't for these guys, I don't know how I could do it. I want to thank you guys from the bottom of my heart. Jabba Bob, why don't you talk?
I'm sorry, Tim. I couldn't hear you. I could.
Well, Tom, the what?
For Rex. You know, this has been an experience that I never would have dreamed we'd gone through. It's been much harder than anybody can imagine, but it's been so rewarding. Not only have we got to work with some of the finest people we've ever met, but we've got to be around people who started out kind of thinking this was kind of like a vacation, and they were going to go out and have some fun, and they got to see what this really takes, what's really involved, and they all came back with a whole new perspective because the questions they had, you know, everybody hears about this and kind of snickers and laughs, but now they went out and saw what we saw the same time we saw it, heard what we heard, felt what we felt, and now they know. And to a person, the people that were here, it will never be the same again.
I got something to say. You know, we came up with an intent to capture. You know, like my dad said, we got a couple more notches closer. But, you know, we didn't capture this creature this time. But to me, we made 5 more skeptics believers on this trip because the people that were out there that were seen had never seen of, never heard of. And I knew one of them who was a paranormal person, they were all skeptics. But when they saw what they saw, they kind of moved over from that skeptic stage to a either semi-believer or a firm believer, which means we got 5 more people back behind us.
That's absolutely true. Amazing stuff.
amazing stuff. For those people that couldn't make it, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry because you really missed something outstanding. For those who did, they all know what they saw. They all know what they experienced. It's mind-changing. You know, and when I was talking about David Hawley here, I don't know if I was able to paint a mental picture the way I wanted to. When I was talking about he was up all night and everything, here's a guy that should have been physically exhausted. He's a hard-working man. He works here locally, and he does this between when he's working and when he's here. He came down here and did this after he'd worked all day. And now you think this man would be totally exhausted. Now, he's been doing this for a while. And yet it was so emotional for him to see this creature that he was not able to sleep. I mean, you go hike 10, 15 miles through the swamps and through the heat and through the pouring rain and the winds after you've worked all day. When you hit your bed, you're going to want to go to sleep. This man couldn't sleep. That's how powerful this was. I don't know how to paint that picture with words, but
that was the best, Bobby. That was the best way to paint it. Well, folks, we're coming up on the half hour. The show's almost open. Summing up like my dad said, hey, folks, you're there and everywhere. Everybody in the Timberline Bigfoot Research Group and searchingforbigfoot.com, we appreciate you. Till next week. Waka, 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 waka. Marco Bill, it's all yours.
And this is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live radio station. This is a special coming to you from Paris, Texas, on expedition. Our next show will be next Wednesday, and we will see you next Wednesday. And now for the outro.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. We brought them together, reason for the fact.